by Satanic International Network. You're listening to the U.
I'm haunted cage, every foul wicked spirit in the host, the ooze.
20 minutes, dead or alive, on the ooze, spread out.
On the ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
They kind of missed the whole point.
To really tap into the adversarial current
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now onto our show.
All right, it's that time again, and you're listening to the Ooze Outbreak Edition with your host TC Downey and Jason Sorrell. And TC, what's going on, man?
Shit, man. Shit. Actually, to be honest with you, I'm kind of trying to come to a decision and a deliberation that I've had with myself all day long. This morning I decided to actually start looking at statistics and stuff for my website, you know, just kind of trying to figure out, you know, how I could kind of get back to paying attention to me and do less of, you know, pushing other people's stuff. I rarely pay attention to myself and some of my projects has fallen to the wayside and whatever, and it's just time for, a reevaluation. So the deliberation that I hit was this: as I was searching through the stats, I realized that my website has a 58% bounce ratio. Now, I don't know if you know what that is, but that's like wicked bad.
So what do you propose doing about it?
Well, what it indicates, it indicates that whatever is going on my website is not enough to interest a person to stay and look through other pages. They go to one page, they're there for, well, according to this, they're there for up to 15 minutes, and then they bounce. They're gone. So what I kind of got to thinking about was, well, you know, maybe I need to do a content reset. Maybe I need to go through and cut out shit that's old or irrelevant and, just trim it up to whatever the best posts are going to be that I have in there. Coincidentally, while we're talking about that, actually, I just let everybody know there's like 3, maybe 4 new essays up on fearthebeast.com. I think actually 2 of them have never been seen before, but the other 2 were just reposts of something I posted on Sin a couple of weeks ago. So,
right on.
Content reset. That's what I was deliberating on, and I think I've come to a decision that that's what I'm gonna do. I mean, I've looked. I don't think my layout's confusing. I don't think my content itself is weak necessarily. It's just maybe it's not as current, but I don't know. I mean, maybe I just need to cut the philosophy off of my website altogether and just do art and poetry on there or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I've debated back and forth on why I even still have a website when I put so little effort in actually trying to generate funds from that. It seems like my effort anymore is focused on spreading the word, if I can use that phrase without sounding a little too, whitewashed. So, it's just, where I'm coming from, what I'm thinking about.
Right on. And I know the feeling, man. I mean, especially with like Creative Eye Studios, I mean, you see that a lot. They'll pull up a certain image or whatever, and then they bounce, like you're saying. And, I mean, you know what I've got going on. It's, you know, a number of blogs and everything else on different places, and they're all kind of interconnected. But if you're interested in, this subject that I'm discussing, well, then you focus on this blog or this website, and you don't go to the other websites. And there is a lot of, you know, crossover, as much as I would like there to be. I think, you know what, we got people listening and everything else. I know this show is going to be listened to the archive because that's just the way it happens with views. Check out fearthebeast.com, http://, there's no www, there's just fearthebeast.com. Check that page out, and there's ways to contact TC all throughout the page. Look through the stuff and give him some ideas. What attracts your attention? That's what he's really, really looking for. When you get on that homepage, when you get on that main page and everything else, what catches your eye? What's the next thing you click? Or what do you think would help, you know, to get people to move around the site a little bit more? That would be awesome to get some people actually, you know, telling you what they think, you know, some feedback.
Yeah, and actually, I have a form actually on the website that where they can, you know, leave feedback. There's even, you know, categories created for the different things that I actually deal with. So I mean, it's a couple of seconds to sign up, and you can post your comment and whatever. You know,
and right on. Yeah.
But what
no,
I was
I know
saying,
you.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, dude.
Oh, I was just.
What say. Go for it, man. It's you. It's all you, dude.
What I'm just thinking is maybe, you know, my approach of mixing things up. I mean, there's some blog posts that are, just my own personal feelings at that point in time. And then there's other stuff that's specifically philosophically driven. And then there's other things that, I don't know, deal with whatever extra shit that I needed for the ooze or whatever. I just think maybe a content cleanup, a content refocusing, a reset, so to speak, might be in order if I am planning to continue to keep the website going.
Right on. Well, I for one think we should definitely keep the website going, just as a way to, if anything, just as kind of a venue for you to put out your stuff and to do your thing, because you're very expressive artistically, you know, in your writing and everything. It'd be a shame not to have that venue, not to have that window inside of the mind of TC Downing. So hopefully you decide to continue doing that. I can see, you know, maybe I know what you're thinking. I mean, maybe wanting to streamline it, maybe wanting to see, you know, what else you got going on. And you got a lot of other shit going on, too. So it's hard to stay, you know, fresh every 30 days with something new. I know with Creative Eye Studios, it's, you know, I think I just posted some new artwork on there. And it may have been a couple of months between, you know, original, you know, the first, you know, posts of artwork and everything else. And that's what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's just so fucking, you know, we're just so fucking busy. We're going to talk about, by the way, the topic tonight is cryptozoology, and we're going to get to that. We're going to be talking about cryptozoology a little bit, you know, strange animals, weird animals and shit like that, theoretical animals, animal species, mythology and everything. But if that doesn't grab your attention, if you're on the chat room right now and you kind of want us to talk about some other shit, because we needed to come up with some things to talk about, and I just threw these ideas out there. We are prepared tonight, but I'm willing to go ahead and talk about other stuff and change the subject matter this evening. I think you should ask your fans, man. I think you should ask, maybe put it right there on the website, right there, big and bold. What do you think, what brings you here, what do you want to change, you know, take the survey or something. And your site's very interactive. There's all kinds of different ways, you know, the forums and everything else, all kinds of different ways to get in touch with you and communicate with you. So it's a cool site.
Right on. All right. Well, one thing I was considering doing with putting up a poll box, you remember the old Twisted Beast site? I always had some kind of a poll going all the time.
Right on.
I thought about doing something like that. You know, do you want to see this ship sink? You know, should I just do art? You know, something along those lines.
Right on. So, anyways, we were having a conversation before we came on the air, and just to kind of wrap that up, because I don't know, you know, how much time we'll have to talk about it, not to necessarily name names or anything else, but with the person we're talking about, I don't think that he and I have enough overlap in our interests to have a viable conversation, that we don't have enough parallel going on to even have a debate. And he's in his world and I'm in my world, but it would be interesting to see happen if we could find some sort of, you know, some place where we do each have an interest that would be worth discussing.
Right on. Well, I was more talking about just a calculated assassination, but
we could do that, too.
Yeah. I was just thinking, you know, the perfect way is just to, because I'm sure that this person listens to this show, you know, and the perfect way would just be, you know, to, like, right now, since we're not talking about too terribly much else, you know, fucking nail this shit to the wall. And, you know, we just wait for it to trickle back. You know, eventually he's going to pick up the phone and call in, but, you know, maybe we're a little too, what's the word that I want to use? Professional for it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think professionalism has ever been a problem of ours. But yeah, I know what you're saying. And that's my thing. That's my argument. And we will get to cryptozoology here in a minute, I promise. But that's kind of my argument, is that just like so many other people that have called in and made some noise and everything else, they need us to be that venue more than we need them to give us something to talk about. So I just don't see feeding into, you know, anybody's trip unless it's worth our while. If it ends up proving to be worth our while, if there is some interest in it, you know, then I'm all about it. But, yeah, it's just, you know, right now it's a science show, man. And, you know, just a distraction, a waste of time most of the time.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, all right.
Go ahead.
I'm feeling that, man. I'm feeling that. I agree with you. I agree.
Right on. So anyways, cryptozoology. And you know, I'm going to say cryptozoology because that's a mispronunciation. It's cryptozoology. It's the study of or the interest in animals and species, things like that, that are rumored to exist. There's no real scientific data suggesting they actually exist. There's no, you know, no proven, you know, anything. And this is, you know, this is the Loch Ness Monster and Sasquatch or Bigfoot or all kinds of different little stuff. And you want to talk about distractions, you want to talk about, you know, kind of waste of time. Cryptozoology, although it has proven over time to have some factual basis, generally, it's where, you know, biologists and botanists and people that study animals and everything else, those folks that don't quite make the cut with the regular type of study of animals and everything else, this is where they end up falling into and with the kooks and everything else. And not to say that it's not interesting, that it is entertaining to see what these different myths and everything else lead to. But, you know, it's kind of like until you actually can grab hold of one of these things and prove that it exists beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're just going to be looked at as a kook. But, like I said, interesting animals. Have you heard, like, some of the recent stories over the last year or so about the about this topic?
Not specifically, no. I'm one of them kids that I try not to pay too much attention to the news because I know that none of it's the truth. It's all being filtered in one way or the other. You know, so no, I don't necessarily think that I've caught anything like that. Although I do have a minuscule interest in this subject already. I've done some research on some different quote unquote animals. Yeah, did you have a particular ones in mind?
I've got some recent stuff. Cryptozoology, there is some basis to it. It does go someplace. You know, the mythology of different people and everything else lead to the discovery of new species sometimes. You know, and this is a quirky world we live in, so there's weird shit out there. The gorilla of Africa was at one time considered to be mythological. The stories about some, you know, these jungle men living in the deeps of Africa or whatever, in the mountains and everything, these giant, you know, these monsters and everything. And for a long time, people, when they thought about these animals, they thought they were meat eaters and everything else. They totally didn't understand what a gorilla was. And most people, for a while, thought it was just tribal bullshit. It was mythology. And lo and behold, you know, of course, there's these gorillas. And more recently, the idea of the kraken, a giant squid, that has proven to be a true damn thing. You know, all the stories about, you know, these squids coming up, and you knew from whale carcasses that there was, you know, they knew what a squid bite looked like. They knew what a squid attack looked like, sucker marks or whatever, on, you know, on different animals. Well, these whale carcasses were washing up with these giant, you know, sucker marks, you know, too big for any squid to possibly have made. And then you got, you know, sailors out there all, you know, out to sea, and they've all, you know, they've seen these things. There's stories about people looking over the port or whatever and seeing these, you know, eyeballs staring at them from, you know, it's a big fucking squid, and these eyes are the size of dinner plates and shit. And I know that's a pretty ambiguous, you know, measurement, but, you know, it's a big damn eye, basically, is looking at it from the water. And now, you know, of course, they've hooked some of them. They've filmed some of these giant squids. They have found small examples of the species. They know based on aging these squids, whatever you do, I don't know if you cut a tentacle off and count the rings or what you do, but they know what they found. These 18-foot-long, you know, squids were juvenile squids, juvenile giant squids. So they know it exists. Now, recent stories, recent stuff that's been in the news, in my area, we've got chupacabra, okay?
Yeah, that's one that I actually wanted to talk about, so that's good.
Right, so chupacabra, you've got ranchers and everything else shooting these dog-like little beasties, and there's some debate as to what these things are. So yeah, chupacabra is something to talk about. Another one is the skunk ape here in North America. There was a film recently, supposedly it was a skunk ape walking across the street, got filmed and everything, along the same vein as a Sasquatch and everything else. And then in your neck of the woods in Florida, some places in Florida, I guess they have these, I mean, they're sewers, I guess, or they're drainage ditches or something. They open up right into the ocean or something. And
no.
something large and with a long neck and the whole bit swam through one of these drainage things and, you know, was filmed basically. That there was a film that caught it. It was on the news, it was all over the place. So while it's a little far out, cryptozoology is a little weird and everything, there's projections that there's only a certain, you know, there's a very small percentage of the species that have been identified, that that more species go extinct on a daily basis than are actually identified or known by man or what have you. So you never know, man. You never know what kind of shit's gonna pop up and will be, you know, it was myth one day and a true damn thing the next.
Right on. The chupacabra is actually, I got to say that it exists, maybe not in the mythological fashion of it, but I've seen like multiple videos from different, from multiple people of this dog that all looks very similar to the description that's being given. I've got to say that one of them was even like probably within 15 feet of the creature. So it's definitely something out there.
Right. What the official story is here is they're writing it off as some sort of wild dog with mange or something. I mean, these things are completely hairless. Snub-nosed, weird teeth, you know, everything, you know, all the earmarks of the traditional chupacabra. You know, they attack livestock and everything else. And there's, you know, of course, you know, corpses of animals drain completely of their blood. You know, maybe because the blood's all over the ground. I don't know. If you get your throat ripped out, well, that happens. All the blood comes out of you. So it's hard to say. But it's just one of those things that's been with, especially amongst, you know, the Mexican culture, that chupacabra, they see something, man. This is something that's been going on for a long time. And what's quirky about a lot of these stories on these different animals, including Sasquatch, and I'll probably talk about that, I guess, a little bit, because that's something that I was interested in even as a kid, that there's this alien connection, too. It's not bad enough that these animals that, you know, seem to, they leave no trace evidence behind of their actual existence, no bodies or anything else when they die. But now also, they might also be connected somehow to UFOs.
Right on.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's par for the course. I mean, of course the aliens did it.
Right. Well, and the Chupacabra, the reason it kind of relates to the Chupacabra is, I don't know where it is in what country. I don't know if it's Colombia or Brazil or someplace. Somewhere, though, in South America or Central America, there is a giant radar dish. This isn't something sticking up out of the ground. It's actually built into the earth, this giant radar dish. And I should have my facts together, but I don't. And what they're thinking is that when they built this radar dish, you know, it's meant to be as part of SETI or whatever. It's meant for communication and shit like that. But if they built this radar dish, and if it's not necessarily the aliens came down and they released a bunch of chupacabras or whatever, but they think that this massive, it's out in the middle of the jungle, they think this massive building project has displaced a whole bunch of these animals. And again, we only know about a very small percentage of the overall, you know, animal species we have on the planet. So when you have these giant man-made building projects and you dump them right in the middle of the jungle where nobody's really ever been before or very few people have ever walked the ground there, well, these animals are going to move around, and that's going to drive them north or whatever. So now the Chupacabra myth has been around since prior to the building of this structure, but they're saying that the more frequent sightings of these things is related to that kind of activity.
I could believe that. I mean, the other thing you got to figure, I'm just going to kind of talk out of my ass a little bit here, but a while back I watched a pseudo-documentary. It was called Earth 2150 or something like that, or 2100. And in this, one of the claims that's actually made in the documentary is that all of the people in the world could live within the state of Texas. That's how spread out we actually are. So the thing of it is, even though things are mapped and we kind of have an idea of, you know, what land's actually there, we don't spend enough time occupying these spaces to really, be familiar with every piece of wildlife that's there. I mean, I don't know, there's like supposed to be only like 13 native species of spiders in Florida, but I know for my own self that I've run into at least 4 or 5 species that I couldn't identify. So
right on. Yeah, I read a statistic that said there's 10 times more insects. Like there are at least 10 bugs for every person walking around right now. And you're right, that documentary said that, yeah, we could all live in a space the size of Arizona, basically. So there's a lot of planets still that we don't know what the hell is out there. And the other thing, of course, is that, you know, evolution is still in effect. So new species are probably arising every day as well.
Right.
So, but anyways, and I wanted to throw the number out there while we're on it. The number is 347-99-1371. If you've got some thoughts on cryptozoology, if you've got some thoughts on weird animals, if you've encountered some strange shit and want to call in and tell us about it, that'd be cool. Or again, if you're not interested in this, let us know. I was going to talk about the Sasquatch, the Bigfoot thing. Everybody's seen the Patterson film. Everybody's familiar with this, that grainy film that was shot back in the 60s. It looked like those old Disney wildlife documentaries. It had that kind of same coloring and everything else, just weird, unnatural coloring. And it's a film of, you know, this something out in the woods, big and fucking hairy, and it's moving, you know, it moves through the woods, and the deal is, you know, and it looks back at one point, the real famous picture is when it looks back at one point at the cameraman, okay? And there's been some controversy as to whether that film was real, whether it was fake. One of the three guys that was involved in it is claiming up and down that the film was fake. He was part of the faking of it. But the guy who's making those claims kind of has a shoddy, you know, background and everything else. He's known for being a con artist and everything else. And the other two dudes are going, well, that guy really wasn't even involved in what was going on. And the other two dudes are kind of like, you know, they're stalwart, upright, you know, citizens or whatever. I think one of them has died or something. Anyways, Pattersonville shows this creature walking, and one of the big points of evidence that people use is that this thing's gait is either human gait, it's a human walking, or it's not, and it all depends on the speed of the film when it was shot. And if this film was shot at 24 frames per second, then that is definitely a person in an ape suit. If it's shot at 16 frames per second, then there's no way a human can imitate that gait, and it's something else. It's not a human being. The most recent theory I've heard on this Bigfoot film is that apparently, and I am this close to know for sure, but apparently what you're seeing there isn't a male Sasquatch, that it has breasts. It's a female Sasquatch. So this suit back in the 60s, if that's true, this suit back in the 60s would not only have to be this gorilla suit, but it also would have to be a gorilla suit with great big double D breasts hanging on it.
Right on. Well, I got to blow this whole thing out of the water right now, man. That was me. I just hadn't shaved. It was a really bad acid trip, and I don't really know how the fuck I got there, and I was a little confused and whatever. That was me, yeah.
Right on. It was either Bobcat Goldthwait, one or the other.
And it was actually shot at 24 frames per second, yeah.
So you just strolling through the woods?
Yeah, I was just cruising, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it, man.
Right on. Well, you know what? We got that figured out then, okay.
Yeah.
And Chupacabra, probably just, you know, some crazy fuckers shaving their dogs.
Right on.
Painting them blue and shit, sending them out into the woods.
The thing that was completely unusual about this Chupacabra, man, and seeing the video is the way that the body's built. Now, it's not uncommon for a dog to have a wider foreshoulder area and smaller rear hips. But this dog, it was unusually drastic. I mean, like, you're talking the chest of a fucking English bulldog on the ass of a chihuahua.
Right.
And
yeah, there's
the front limbs of it were extra long. I mean, like, almost, you know, the same kind of proportioning that you might give to a gorilla or something. You know, that real long front limb, and the rear legs, of course, were smaller. So, I mean, it really was, it's very convincing to me. You know, and I usually am pretty good at picking up on stuff that's faked, you know, like Photoshop work or digital work. I'm usually pretty good at noticing because I can see techniques that I use. You know,
and one of the arguments that the ranchers are making about these things, when the eggheads came out and said, you know, oh, that's a dog with mange, you know, the ranchers are like, you know what, well, then there's a shitload of dogs with mange, first of all. They're attacking livestock. And what dog is it? You know, prove it to us that it's, you know, that it's a canine, because it doesn't look like you're saying, it doesn't look like any kind of damn dog anybody's ever seen before.
Yeah, I mean, I've even seen some weird breeds of dog in China, but nothing like this, man. So,
Right on. Now,
getting back to the Bigfoot thing, it's interesting that we brought that up, because as a kid, I mean, I remember that movie Harry and the Hendersons. Right when it came in the theater, I went to see it, and from there, of course, you know, living in Ohio, the only thing to really do for fun is go camping. So, you know, you got all these woods to explore and stuff. So I used to go see if I could find a Bigfoot, but I was never successful.
Right.
Right on.
Well, who hasn't been, especially at our age, the children of the 70s, back when, you know, In Search Of was on there, Leonard Nimoy hosting In Search Of and everything else. And they were doing a damn Bigfoot episode every other week. and it was a big deal. And yeah, you just imagine that, you know, me being a kid with a Loch Ness monster, you know, asking my dad, well, why don't we just drain the lock? why don't you take all the water out of it, and then you'll see every fucking thing that's bottom of the damn thing. You don't have to worry about it anymore. You know, or go in there with big nets. It didn't make sense in my mind why you want to find the thing, let's go in there with a fleet of boats and a bunch of big nets and drag the whole thing, you know. The money did not come into my mind, you know, or an interest or whatever. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Wander around the woods at night with a flashlight, you know, going, yeah, Bigfoot, yeah.
I did have a somewhat odd development, which I've always kind of attributed to the fact that I was tripping on acid at the time. But about the age of 18, a friend of mine and I dropped some hits of acid, and we jumped into one of the state parks over the fence. And we wandered off deep into the state park. While we were in there, you know, we were sitting back, smoking weed or whatever, chilling out, having a good time with trails. And then we started seeing a shadow of an animal that, well, the shadow itself looked really weird, but we could never actually, like, get to the animal in time to actually physically see the animal. It was really strange. We spent all night kind of slowly creeping around these woods trying to catch up with the shadow long enough to look to see what creature was casting it. So, you know, again, I think it was just an acid trip thing, but it's interesting in that way.
Sure. And there are plenty of sober people that walk around changing shadows. That's another, you know, another thing in cryptozoology. That there's a belief or an interest in these shadow people or these shadow creatures. Shit that you see out of the corner out of your eye. You know you saw something there. You know, saw a shadow flitted across the room or whatever. And there are people who put stock in that as there's something more to it than just, you know, your brain processing something that you didn't fully consciously see. That maybe there's something else going on there.
Right.
Another animal I wanted to bring up, and this thing kind of really caught my attention here recently. Apparently, the theory is that our skies are full of these different animals. They aren't birds, they aren't insects or whatever. They're invisible to the naked eye, but when you're filming, especially with, you know, high definition cameras and everything else, you can see these things floating around in the air. There are these rods, basically, with a bunch of little legs and shit all over them. They fly around really fast. They fly in flocks. They follow people around. They avoid obstacles. So on film, they'll fly around shit. So it's not just – then they've proven that on the films that they've looked at, well, according to the sites I've seen, that these are three-dimensional objects on the film. It's not something wrong with the film itself. So these are actually objects on the film floating around, and, you know, they'll displace things. Like, if they fly through some grass, the grass will move out of their way and everything else, but you can't see them, apparently, with the naked eye. Only on film, basically, do these things show up. And what got me thinking about these things when I first heard this story, there's actually videos of this shit on YouTube. They're called Skyfish or Air Rods or these different things. There's a story by H.P. Lovecraft, Beyond Something, or, hang on, let me take a look here. Like I said, I should have been a little bit more prepared for the show. I'm not finding it. So it's an H.P. Lovecraft story where this guy develops some sort of device to stimulate the pituitary gland. Now, I don't know if it's from Beyond. That's the name of the story, I think. At least that's the name of the movie. I think it's a story from Beyond. But basically, he develops some sort of machine that lets you see these creatures that are there around us all the time. And when you get into weird theories and everything else, you know, the possibility that, we exist at a certain vibrational rate as far as energy matter, as far as that spectrum is concerned. We exist at this particular vibrational rate, that other things might exist at a different vibrational rate, and we wouldn't interact with each other because we're basically on two different planes of existence. So now you've got this film evidence, basically, of these weird things in the air all around us all the time. And it just, it made me think of this story where part of the deal was, if you noticed them, well, then they would notice you, and then it was your ass. But check it out on YouTube, air rods or skyfish, whatever it is they're called. 50 shit, man.
Right on. Right on. Yeah, I mean, definitely freaky shit. You know, it's interesting to me because the first thing when I read this title that popped into my mind was the dragon. I mean, that's the first mythological creature that comes to your head when you start thinking about mythological creatures. So, it's more fascinating to me than that, though, because I think that that could probably just be explained by, you know, it being a breed of fucking dinosaur or whatever. But what's more interesting to me is the griffin. Well, I mean, it's something that has been a symbol in that particular region of the world for, I mean, as long as there's been any kind of written or symbolic history there. So, you know, what the hell would a griffin be?
Right, right. Or, yeah, who makes that shit up? Or, you know, unicorns. Exactly. In heraldry, that these different creatures have been symbols for so long, and for not just in European mythology, but in mythology stretching across, you know, the Asiatic continent, that these different things, you know, they're based on something. And you're like, how many of these fuckers in the middle of, you know, in Germany or, you know, Russia or whatever, how many of these people ever saw a narwhal to see that one horn or whatever and go, oh, that's what a unicorn looks like? Or how many of them have been down to Africa to see a rhinoceros and go, oh, that's a unicorn? None of them. They saw a horse or a goat with one horn spiraling out of its forehead or something. Same with the griffin, that, you know, if somebody saw something that made him think, you know, that made him think that there's something else going on there.
Yeah, I mean, it really really fascinating, especially when you think about the fact that, you know, men can't do very well for very long at the tops of mountains. You know, there's just something about the thinner atmosphere and being that high from sea level that, you know, it really shortens your lifespan.
Right.
So, obviously, this is the reason why we don't have entire cities built on top of mountains. The thing that's interesting to me, then, is how much exploring actually has happened up on those mountains. You know, I mean, the casual hiker may not wander into this weird cavern here because, well, they saw, you know, whatever, the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon when they were a kid or something.
Well, exactly like we were saying just a little while ago, there's a whole bunch of territory on this planet that's unexplored that makes, you know, cryptozoology at least a topic that should continue to be explored. Like, there are a lot of kooky theories involved in this cryptozoology thing. But then there's been stuff that has been proven to be, you know, real damn shit.
Yeah,
so,
like,
you never know.
One thing that comes to my mind is the Tasmanian devil.
Right on.
You know, I mean, that was something that was folklore long before the animal itself was ever found.
Right, right.
So
yeah, it's you know, nobody believed that shit. Nobody believed that, you know, with stories coming out from the, you know, from the outback or whatever about these little weird creatures or whatever from that island, from Tasmania or whatever. And, you know, nobody's going to buy that stuff until somebody actually sees it.
Right on. Right on. So, yeah, is there much else to really say on this subject?
No, man, I don't think there's... Like I said, I didn't think this would carry an hour. I'm surprised we got along as far as we did. You know what? I do have one other story, I guess, that might interest you, okay? The British Isles. There's this thing... lizard men, the idea of these bipedal humanoid lizards, okay? And one of the stories I came across was about how the British Isles, Ireland, England, and all that crap, those two islands used to be inhabited not by human beings, but by these reptilian humanoids. And that the story of St. Patrick coming into Ireland and casting out the snakes, he wasn't casting out snakes, he was casting out the last remnants of this other civilization, this alternative group of intelligent beings, and leading the charge, basically, not necessarily, somebody else, but became the St. Patrick myth, but that the Picts of the British Isles were actually, had engaged in the same religious practices that were taught to them by these reptilian beings, which is related to, the Irish Celts and the whole group that, I guess even the language, the Gaelic language might be related to the lingo that was spoke by supposedly this other civilization.
Right. That would be interesting. I mean, I've always been kind of curious. I know there's only two or three root languages that exist. And they all started on, far corners of the world, so to speak. So I've always been kind of curious as to, who taught that, who developed that language, who brought that language, to the area, and why is it so much different than the other root languages?
Right.
I'm trying to think of one in specific, honestly, I didn't do much of my homework either for tonight's conversation. I didn't know we were going to be even talking about language. So,
right, we tend to meander all over the place when we do these kinds of shows.
Yeah, it just goes to show something I've actually been kind of pushing towards, seeing if we couldn't arrange. Now that we have Dan Dredd on board, which in case you didn't catch the show yesterday, or our listeners didn't catch the show yesterday, I mean, it just turned out awesome. It was just incredible. So, really, just a good conversation. 45 minutes before I even looked at the clock, dude, and that's been a long time since that's happened. So, what I was getting ready to actually propose was that, we get together, one day a month and discuss all of the potential topics that we have and decide which ones are actually cannon fodder topics like cryptozoology or, which ones actually have, the stuff to get us through.
Right, might have some legs, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, just wanted to throw that out there. I thought Sin Chat would be a perfect place to do it, and maybe our listeners, they frequent Satanic International Network, they might even pop in to make suggestions or whatever.
Yeah, we're all about suggestions. So if you folks are listening to this show, the archive show or the live show, and you have ideas, you things that you want us to talk about, things that you want us to explore, we're always down with hearing ideas and seeing what we might do or might not do. I guess while we got a little time left, while we're just talking about whatever, looks like, and I just got the email a little bit ago here, folks who are involved in My Satan, I don't know if it's mysatan.com or mysatan.net. It looks like it's mysatan.net. It's an organization that I guess is like Satanic International Network, but not nearly as I would say just not as good. I mean, it's good for what it is, but apparently there's been a change in the management there. That Eric Schuetz, who created it, has stepped down. He's no longer involved in the management of that website, and there's a character, Tersa, T-E-R-R-S-A-A, who now is going to be running or managing My Satan. So I don't know what that's going to mean for that site, but there's a little news for you from the satanic subculture. My Satan is now under new management.
Are you familiar with Eric Schutz at all? I mean, I think you probably are. Back in the UOC, he went under the handle of Reverend Dark Shadow. So
okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that helps you with it at all. Oddly enough, I was actually minorly involved with the startup of My Satan as well. It's kind of a strange thing that I ended up doing Satanic International with Zach later. So, but the first banner that ever adorned that website was one that I created.
Oh, right on.
But
just knee deep into it. That's what it is, man. We got our fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah, it was just kind of being in the right place at the right time. And I'm familiar with Eric, and I can imagine if he's stepping down for whatever reason, then it probably is a good reason. I know he's a very logical fellow. So.
Right. And it sounds like, well, I'm assuming that he's got something else he wants to do. You know, he's moving on to bigger and better things. But maybe he had his run with My Satan, and now he wants to do something else. So I just thought I'd throw it out there, though. I mean, like I said, hopefully, I mean, there can never be enough venues really for this subculture, because there's so many different points of view, there's so many different ways of approaching the different issues and the discussion and everything. So the more different opportunities a person has to express themselves and explore their ideas, the better. So at least it's being run by somebody else, and it hasn't just dropped out of existence.
Right on. Absolutely. I mean, it's running at least 5 years strong at this point. You know, if you know, you can call the fact that it's still up and not closed, you know, strong, then it meets those qualifications.
Right.
So, well, there's another thing that I've been kind of meaning to talk to you about off air or whatever, but you might be interested in touching it a little bit here. The Hyperion Foundation. I think it's time to actually start planning.
Well, I was wondering what we were going to do with that because of Matt kind of pulling out. I haven't had a chance to email him about it yet. To see, you know, where he's at on that. I know he's working on his Dionysian thing, and hopefully, we're talking about Dark Pool here, and hopefully, with him taking the time off to go take care of all that, that he gets it done, and I know it's going to be an excellent, project when he finally gets it all straight and everything. As far as the Hyperion Foundation is concerned, it's definitely something we should start moving forward with. It's something we should start actually talking to people about and seeing where they're at, because I do see, there's a need for it. There's a lot of things going on out there in the real world. And I know that a lot of people don't like to deal with the shit that's going on in the world, basically. That we all have our own little fiefdoms and everything else, and this kind of thing either doesn't interest you or you don't think it's relevant or what have you. But it's becoming more and more relevant. It's becoming more and more pressing, not to sound like an alarmist. So the Hyperion Foundation, preserving, our values and our ideology and, doing what we need to do to make sure that our society stays the type of place that remains fertile and encouraging for our way of thinking and our way of behavior. I think definitely, we need to really start engaging in that conversation.
Right. Well, one of the things that I got to thinking about, I know originally we were talking about, gathering up at least 3 months worth of writing materials and releasing an actual magazine. But then I got to thinking about how I get lambasted by all these, Jehovah's Witnesses or the LDSs with these little pamphlets, so to speak, with all their little... the memetic fucking horse shit on it. And I got thinking that maybe as a first running project, we could do something along those lines, whatever, you could make a fucking funny out of it and, you know, call it the devil's virtues or something. You know, just these little, just these little comics with whatever moral value. I don't know if you want to call it moral even, but you know, just little ideas that hold true to the nature of what we're talking about.
You're talking about the old chick, the chick comics things, right? So not just tracks. I think if we go full bore, it could be tracks like the Watchtower type thing, where you tackle one topic, but a topic that doesn't necessarily evolve or change very quickly, so that when you write about whatever it is, whether you write about separation of church and state, and you put together a little tract about it, well, then that will stand for a while. But maybe exactly doing a thing where, you know, a comic where you goof on the idea of abstinence, let's say, or, you know, you show how shitty it can be to be an orphan versus, you know, an abortion or something. I don't know. Yeah, it could be funny.
Yeah, it could be done in a way that there's enough humor behind it to make it relevant, you know?
Right. And it's all a matter of gathering material. It's all a matter of, you know, of having enough material put together that when you start producing the stuff, it's an avalanche, man. It's not a trickle, basically. And we're getting there, I think. So we're moving towards all of that. And when we do release a publication, I think we should go, you know, first of all, this should be available electronically. So not just a digital download someplace, but actually, you know, an email or something like that, some sort of newsletter that people can subscribe to. And I think that the first, you know, several hundred people that we have involved should be able to subscribe to that for free. And afterwards, of course, you know, once we get that initial group of people involved, then, of course, we start charging for the publication to make sure that we recoup the costs. But then along with the e-newsletter, there would be some sort of compodium, you know, some sort of a publication that gathers it all together and puts it out there. I'm looking at the other. I'm kind of hesitant with the publication thing, though, because I'm looking at other publications that are out there like this, basically, sort of. Chaos Sphere Magazine comes to mind immediately. And I don't know what happened, but having gone that route with my own thing, I know that it's hard to, you know, your first issue is easy because, you know, you're all excited about it. You get other people excited about it. They put the material together. But when you get to that second issue, like that Chaos Sphere Magazine, second issue was supposed to happen in April, but it didn't actually get released until May. And I don't know what the deal was. So, you know, it may have been something else entirely, but a lot of times it's just a matter of, you know, we don't have enough material to release a full magazine, so we're trying to get it all together.
Right. Well, what I'm afraid of doing is reinventing the wheel, which is why I suggested a little comic or something. I don't know, maybe more geared to something we would be interested in a longer term. You know, we've seen the rise and fail of these e-zines a million times, man. So
it
obviously is not something that can really be attributed to some form of success.
Right. Well, and the other thing we've been talking about too, though, is making sure that it's palatable to the mainstream, that it doesn't come across as a straight satanic magazine, because when we do that, we automatically limit our market, one, and then we also don't necessarily influence the people we're trying to influence. I mean, we don't want to necessarily sing to the choir with the Hyperion Foundation. We want to kind of put these ideas out there for the general public, for the secularists out there, the people who are kind of, they're not aware necessarily of what's available to them as far as, you know, our ideology and our values. They might understand and agree with what we're talking about, but they don't recognize that there are people out there living it every day and defending it for them. So this publication or whatever it is we're doing would also, you know, move towards those folks to keep them aware of just what their freedoms and liberties are and just how those things are under attack and just what their other options are as far as their own self-expression.
Precisely. I mean, obviously I'm game for trying anything. I'm just saying we might, consider starting with something fresh. You know, that was one of the things that I liked about doing the Blog Talk Radio. When I first started doing it, nobody else was doing it that I knew. I mean, there were maybe 100, 200 channels total on the website. I'm of course, talking about, the Twisted Radio days, but, it was because I became familiar with this medium that, we were able to get a curb this show,
Right. Well, I'm game of doing a comic strip again. I've been kind of itching to do some comic strips and thinking about what I want to do and how I want to approach it and everything else. So, yeah, this is a good idea. And maybe doing some sort of comic strip, maybe not even having to publish a booklet, although that would be cool too, but maybe just throwing it up online, as part of a blog, an ongoing thing where, just like you said, The Devil's Virtues, that might even be a good title.
Right. So just food for thought for you, man.
Right on.
I'm interested in maybe a flash, if that's a word I can use, or an impulse-driven advertising strategy. You remember the old smiley face T-shirts? I mean, what's the message you immediately think of?
Oh, don't worry, be happy. Or have a nice day.
Yeah, both of them, right? They both immediately.
Right.
So that kind of a thing might even be cool, a single panel image that gives a political or social suggestion.
Right on.
Just some of the things that I'm thinking about back and forth, man.
Yeah. No, it's like we were talking about, though, while we were talking about before, too. A lot of it, it's more now that we need to start moving and doing something, and we're way past the planning stage. So
yeah.
It's a matter of grabbing hold of an idea and running with it.
Right, I think so, too, and that's, something I've been interested in actually doing. I mean, I'm intending to start minimalizing my presence, socializing, and moving stuff more towards trying to get some work done again, because I just feel like I've had enough of a breather, enough of a rest. Now it's time to really start putting my focus on things again. You know how I can be when I get my focus on something.
Right on. Right on. So cool. Well, we got about a minute left, man.
Awesome.
I'd say that's a show.
That's a show, man.
All right. Cool.
Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dad Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk Radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?